Good morning, Mr. Ismail Ahmed.
Good morning.
You're the founder of World Remit. Before we proceed any further, when did you start this business?
So I started World Remit back in 2010. And the idea was really to address two major issues I saw, you know, within the remittance. One was the cost and inconvenience of sending money through agents, because often hard-working migrants who hasn't got much time would have to go to an ATM, collect cash, and then walk to a small shop, corner shop, often to send very small amounts, and often those are very costly. So I thought that, you know, in today, when there's technology, everybody has got a smartphone, it should be easier to do that online. The second challenge I thought the online model would address is the money laundering, terrorism financing associated with traditional money transfer, which means that when somebody takes cash to a corner shop, there is no audit trail. Whereas with online money transfers, you know, there is an audit trail because the money is coming from an account, either a debit card or somebody transferring the money from accounts. So that discourages anybody who wants to do money laundering because they like anonymity.
You keep on mentioning online because that's basically your business model, not doing business online, as opposed to the traditional way of sending money, which is through shops, through retail, so you don't have really need an extensive network of sources, you know. Yes. Now, how will World Remit re-expand? Because other companies, most of them started from retail remittances, then they're just moving towards online business. But now, your company started on online. Are you going the opposite way, or are you continuing doing online?
We see the industry switching from offline to online.
You call it offline, the retail thing, yeah.
Yes, okay. And the retail is offline.
Yeah, okay.
And it is not the first industry to move online. I mean, travel is very similar to money transfers, but travel was one of the first industries that went online in the 1990s. Today, more than 95% of remittances worldwide take place at offline locations, so they're cash-based. But it is significantly changing now, because of the new technology. Everybody has got a smartphone now, so why would they need to go to a corner shop? And because of new regulations and banks who don't want to work with players that are collecting cash. So those two trends are pushing the industry to go online. So we think that is the future, and therefore there is no need for us to build physical shops.
You mentioned it's still 95% of the bulk still offline.
It's offline. But it's changing very rapidly. So we think in the next couple of years, 50-60% of the industry will move online. And I think it's probably worth mentioning that Filipinos are very tech-savvy, and even when we started, some of the best corridors that went online quite early were Filipinos. And so today, we send more than 100,000 transactions a month to Philippines. So it is by far our largest receive market.
Thank you for mentioning that, because already mentioned the Philippines, and can you give us a little statistics on how Philippines or the Philippines fare in your business model?
Very interesting. We're the largest digital money transfer business globally, so we send remittances from 50 countries.
Yes.
And what is really interesting is that
Philippines is on the top of the list.
Almost in most of these markets. And when we launch a new send country, get the approval, the first transaction of what we see is a Filipino transaction. So we are licensed in 46 United States. So in the U.S., you have to get a license in each state, from Alaska to California. The same in many other countries. Some of the countries we recently launched include Iceland.
Yep.
And we were surprised to see first transactions coming from Filipinos in Iceland. So that's why we're quite popular. And I think what we often find out is that a recipient who has got relatives abroad getting money, you know, in Manila may have a relative in Sydney or say California or Oslo or London. So, and often it's the recipients who are using getting money through our system, who advertise our service when we launch a new send market.
So how do they get the money? So if you send from Iceland to Manila, so how would the recipient would get his money or her money?
So what our customers do is that they download our app in any of those 50 countries.
That's right.
And then they can send money to either bank accounts or okay. we're connected to the big banks like
all the major banks,
Metrobank, BDO. And those particularly the big banks, the transactions are instant. So when somebody sends money to Metrobank or BDO or PNB, it is instant.
Are you also affiliated with one of the banks that was involved in the $81 million?
No, we're not. Fortunately, none of our partners were involved in that. So we send money to a bank account. We also send money to a cash out network, so where we offer instant cash pickup, you know, through ML Hulier, Cebuana. We're also connected to or send money to Smart Mobile
but
Money and GCash.
Hulier has also its own remittance operations. So is that a conflict with them, or you're not competing with them?
No, we they are our partners.
Mr. Ismail, the remittance industry nowadays is basically being highly regulated with this very strict compliance. And in your case, how do you implement those strict compliance rules?
It is true historically before the industry, like in Australia, industry was unregulated, so you had lots of very small money transfer players, plus the big ones. You know.
Yes. Now, in your part, what's the assurances that you're
so the assurance that things are changing now because regulation is becoming tougher in all the major sand markets where we are present. And so because of my background, I used to be a compliance advisor for the UN.
So that's
we
your advantage.
We invested heavily on compliance in the beginning. You know, we've raised just under $200 million. And a big chunk of that actually went into building our compliance infrastructure so that it is seamless for the senders and we can prevent the flow of illicit or financial crime while at the same time we're making genuine customers a system which is very easy to use. So we've invested that. And the reason why we hear a lot of banks shutting down smaller players or regulators taking action against traditional players is that many of them don't really have the necessary capital or infrastructure to build a world-class compliance infrastructure. And that's why, you know, this has become quite an important topic.
Let's talk about cost, Ismail, because in the past, the cost of sending money is quite exorbitant. But nowadays, it's getting smaller, smaller, smaller. And will it come to a point that it's going to be free and just get relying your income on the conversions?
Yeah, it's coming down for sure, largely because in the past you had only very large players who used to dominate the industry. Okay. So it is changing now. Costs are coming down now. And we, because of, you know, we've got an online system where we don't have to hire a lot of staff because, you know, given the size of our business, we have, you know, about 230 people. Comparable traditional network would have required like more than 1,000 people. So that helps us to save cost and then offer pass that cost saving to our customers. But also I think what we have done successfully, particularly in countries like Philippines, is build an extensive network where we also bring down the cost of collecting funds. Because some of the smaller players may only offer one or two partners in the receive side. And what that often means is that the recipient may have to travel quite a bit of distance and spend money to get to those locations and waste time to collect money. So we take into account not only on how much it costs to send money, but also how much does it cost the recipient to get the money and the speed. Because what we know now these days is that historically, if you take a lot, you know, Filipinos, they used to send one-off transaction once a month or once every couple of months.
Yeah.
That is changing now, largely because of the messaging apps.
So it's becoming more frequent?
More frequent, because what we see is a typical Filipino nurse in Sydney today is talking to her family members quite frequently using WhatsApp, you know, Viber, and similar ones. And so as she knows the situation her family better now, and she can respond to emergencies like her mother needs to go to hospital tomorrow, she needs $20.
Without disclosing more of the details, last question, Mr. Ismail. How much growth are we expected in the industry, in the business?
Look at in Australia. We launched our services in Australia in 2012, and today we're sending, Australia is a big send market, and we've captured a lot of market. We're expecting to maintain the growth we've seen. We publicly, we're very open, very transparent. So we publish our revenues, for instance. So if you look at our revenues, last year we did our revenue was $55 million Australian dollars, and we've seen that it started from back in 2012, our revenues were just less than $2 million. So you can see the fast growth from $2 million to $55 million.
And the Philippines will always be a big market for you.
Because now we have licenses in the USA, so we were present in California, and there's a lot of Filipinos in California alone. We're present in Canada, again, a large Filipino community in Canada, the same in Europe, like countries like UK, Italy, some of the Nordic countries like Norway. Norway, Philippines is one of our best and biggest corridors.
Thank you very much for your time, Ismael, and wish you the best of luck in your business.
Thank you very much.